I give you another simple example. The emphatic forms of Arabic. You don't find another language in the world that has these number of emphatic forms. Do you know what's the meaning of emphatic? Emphasizing, confirming. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the morals of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah himself described Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Yes, this verse, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, it has four emphatic ways. It means as if Allah said this sentence four times. Verily you have the best morals. 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 This is the way the Arabs should understand this sentence, this Quranic verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing in this sentence four times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the best of the morals of human beings. When you try to translate this into English, how can you translate these four, these emphatic forms? You would say that verily, surely, absolutely, indeed, you have the best morals, right? When you are speaking, this sounds good. But have you ever seen a sentence written in English that has all these words beside each other? Verily, absolutely, indeed, surely, certainly. Have you ever seen them beside each other in an English statement? No. This is not a language of writing. It's a language of speaking. But in Arabic, you express it by writing and by speaking. Do you see the subtlety here? It's one sentence, five words or six words, that has four ways, different ways of emphasizing. The use of inna, the use of the lam, the use of the prepositional phrase, and the use of the nominal sentence versus the verbal sentence. Four different emphatic ways of emphasizing a meaning in one sentence. You never find this in any language. If you do, show me. Have you ever thought of this meaning? Have you ever thought of the examples why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one verse uses wow? Like وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها. When the disbelievers are led to hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that when they approach hellfire, فتحت أبوابها, the doors were open. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the sentence after it, this is at the end of Surah Az-Zumr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the believer, you see the mercy of Allah. Just by writing one letter, you see the mercy of Allah. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. That when the believers are led to paradise, right, they will find the doors of paradise open for them. The wow here, there's in the first sentence there is no wow, letter wow. In the second sentence there is a letter wow for the believers. You see that this wow for the believers means what? Means that the condition and the situation of paradise, when the Muslims approach paradise, they will find the doors open for them. From distance, when the Muslims go, they will find the doors of paradise open to them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to panic them. The disbelievers will be afraid. And that's why وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. And that's what's happening in the movies that depend on terror and horror. You would find everything goes smoothly and all of a sudden something happens. This is exactly what happens. If you watch the movies, you feel that there's something that will happen, terror. You don't know what is it. And all of a sudden, something happens. And this is exactly what is meant by the wow in the Quran. So Allah, with the disbelievers, They were going, they don't know what's happening. And all of a sudden, it will open under them and they will fall into hellfire. You don't get this meaning if you don't know the meaning of this wow. And as I said, not every Arab who listens to this understands what I said now. Whereas Allah is so merciful with the Muslims, the believers, that not only, you know, that when you are expecting someone is important, what's happening? First of all, you what? You open the doors, right? When you expect someone to come to you, is a very important guy, you open the door for him. You ask people to go and receive him. You know when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Medina? Yes? When first time he went to Medina, he had never been to Medina before as a Muslim. And then when he went there, he found all the people of Medina waiting for him to receive him. Because he was such an important person at that time. He is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is welcoming the Muslims in the same way. He opens, he makes the doors of paradise open for them. So they would see paradise from distance. Not only that, Allah is so merciful that even paradise itself will approach the Muslims. وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. So not only the Muslims will be approaching paradise, paradise itself will move closer to Muslims. You see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The panic of the wonder of knowing what is going to happen. The worry of what is happening in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to torture the believer on that day, the day of judgment. Where every human being will be terrified. Except those believers, those good believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these meanings lie within the letter wow. And that's why, do you think now, is it worthy to learn Arabic? Is it worthy to spend 10 years of your life spending Arabic? How many years have you spent learning English? 20 years? 30 years? 50 years? How many years have you spent learning English? How many years have you spent learning English? 13? And before that? And you, how many?
30 years.
30 years, good. Who is more than 30 years learning English? All your life. What is your life? 60 years? Yes. Brothers and sisters, we learned English for living. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed, wallahi, our living and our sustenance. We will get our sustenance, whether we learn English, whether we don't learn English. It's a tool that helps us to live in this life. And it is important. But how about the language that will let you know this religion and will help you to know the words of Allah and will affect your life? Is it worthy for us to spend some years learning it? Of course it is. But it is the shaitan that comes to us and tries to convince us that this language is difficult. I can be a good Muslim by reading the translation. I can do this and this. Then the shaitan has many various ways that no human being can think of. And he starts convincing us of all these hiyal and tricks that we keep away from. I am a doctor, why should I learn Arabic? Arabic is the language of the Arabs, and Arabs are not doing well nowadays. They have some problems, and you, the shaitan would come to you with millions of words, right? Millions of words, as if even to the degree that he will make the Arabs your enemies. Yes, you remember that Arab guy who made this thing, as if that all the Arabs are like that guy. Yes, the shaitan. This is the role of the shaitan to deviate us. Anyway, okay. The first step. All this introduction is to convince you of two things. First thing is that the importance of this language. Second is the uniqueness of this language. When you start tasting this language, you would repent that all your life lived without learning this language. Even the Arabs themselves, when they know the beauty of the things that in one verse of the Quran, just another example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ, a man came, مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. In another verse, Allah said, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ from a long distance, a man came. So one time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the word man very close to the beginning, and in the second verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the word man in the middle. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. And in another verse, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. Why is that? Why is that? Why, what is the importance? The first verse is that the people were not believers, and Allah is telling them, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ. A man came from a distance, and he was a believer, and you are the ones who are close to the Prophet. You did not convert Islam, you did not believe your Prophet, the one who lived with you. And a man from distance came and he became a Muslim and converted Islam. Shame on you. The meaning shame on you is in the verse. It's not written, but you understand it from it. Whereas the other sentence, yes, it was a man from distance came to warn a prophet that something is going to happen. So two different meanings are implied by the order of the words. Again, this is the subtlety and the beauty of the language when you learn it. So it's enough to convince ourselves that this language is important, and we can never be, we can never be strong Muslims without knowing Arabic well. It's true. When I was just speaking the dialect, the Egyptian dialect, before getting deeper into that language, I did not test Islam the same way I tested it when I knew Arabic. When I started teaching Arabic, when I started going deeper and deeper and analyzing things into Arabic. So this is one thing. It's important for us. The second thing that I want to focus, what I said, I'm talking about 10 years. 10 years requires what? What does it require? It requires determination. As soon as you go out from here, you will forget 10% of what I said. As soon as you reach your house and you eat the delicious food that is waiting for you, you will forget another 10%. By the end of the week, you will have only 40% of what I said. By 2 months from now, you would keep only 10%. By a year from now, you will forget everything. You will forget about this meeting, about the importance of Arabic, about the importance of being stronger in Islam. You will do this. And that's why it needs strong determination. Determination and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Ibrahim alayhi salam in the desert, he asked Ibrahim, call the adhan for people to come to make pilgrims. There was not a single human being living there. All of the desert. It was only Ibrahim. Nobody listens to him. But he never questioned Allah. Oh Allah, how can I make a call to people to come to Hajj and there are no people here? Had it been, we were there because we learned it in the United States. Right? We got our education here, so we think that we are the most qualified people in the world. So this is the feeling that you have in your heart when you are well educated, when you have some knowledge. So if Allah asks you to do something, well, I have a mind. When Allah asks you to keep the riba, the mortgage and the interest and the riba away, you would say, oh Allah, but I will lose some money. I can use my money in a better way. As if Allah doesn't know this. As if Allah doesn't know that you are smart and you can use your money in a better way. And this is the shaitan that comes to you to make you be involved in riba and in mortgage. And that's why they change the words. You see that the play of the game nowadays is what? The rule of the game is to change the names of the words. We used to hear the word zina, adultery. We used to read it in the newspapers long ago and hear it on the news. And people talk about adultery. Now they don't talk about adultery. They talk about sex, sexual affair. They talk about any other word except the word adultery. Why? Because they know that the word adultery is written in the Quran and it's written in the Bible and in the Torah. And they know that there's a connection between the minds of people, between the word adultery and torture. That's why they give it another name, sex, sexual affair, right? And the same thing happens with wine. They no longer call it wine, they may give it other names, beer, alcoholic drinks, spirits, all these things just to convince you it's not that thing that was written in your book. The word riba, how many times you use the word usury, which is the translation of riba? How many times you hear it now? Do you hear it nowadays? You don't hear it. You just hear the word mortgage, interest, profit, and all of them are very nice words to convince you to be indulged in this. You see, the shayateen, the devils, can be human beings and can be a real jinn. Min al jinnati wan nas, from the jinns and from the human beings alike. So it's the jinns of human beings, the human devils are the ones who are creating these words to convince you to be away from these things. In order to be involved in riba, they need to give you something. It's profit, it's interest, it's mortgage, it's not usury. Knowing that this is the only verse in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened, the only verse in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened the believers that Allah will fight them if they deal with riba. The impact of these words are very important on us. So knowing the words and knowing the vocabulary is very important. Going back to the second thing is what is determination. Some of you, I'm sure, that would have these questions in his mind. What is this man talking about? We are here to learn some methods of learning Arabic quickly. What is this man talking about? If you don't have determination, as I said, you will lose what I said as soon as you go from here. Make a promise between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after 10 years, you would do your best, and maybe we will have another Imam Bukhari who was not originally a Muslim among you. We may have some scholars, most of the scholars of Hadith, and Sheikh Waleed is here, he can correct me if I'm wrong. Naysaburi, Al-Bukhari, Ibn Muslim, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, all of them were not Arabs originally, or their families were not Arabs. And they are the most famous names in Islamic history. Yes, it's not a matter of mashallah, just mashallah. Yes, this is good to say that. It's good to say that. Can I be one like them? Yes, you can. Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi. From where? Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi. Do you know this name?
India.
From India. Do you know how many books he wrote in English, in Arabic? Many books he wrote in Arabic. And sometimes when you read the books, you say that this is one of the most important figures among the Arabs. And he's not an Arab. He was not an Arab. It's something that when you have this strong determination, the first thing is to have this strong determination and never lose this determination. Like we focus on the Day of Judgment, everything. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Everything we do in our life, we always remember that we will meet Allah in the Day of Judgment. This is our focus. So the focus should not be vague in front of you, should not change. So we should have this strong determination and we should remind ourselves with it. This is the first step. Let's move to the second step. You can have very strong determination, but you may be using a different tool, a different means. You have intention to go to New York, and New York is in the northeast. But instead of going to the northeast, you go to the southwest. Will you go to New York? You will not go to New York. You will go to what? To Mexico or to where? Somewhere in the ocean. You can go to the ocean. Very good. You can go to the ocean and spend 30 years of your life and then come back to New York. Yes. I mean, this is exactly an example that I want to use. You need to get the tool. First, determination that you want to know your religion well. Determination that you need to be a scholar, you want to be a scholar. Determination for all these things. And in addition to this, you need to get a tool to go to reach this determination, this goal, the tool. And when I say, I mention the tool, the third one is what? You need to have the right tool. The right tool. So not only just a tool, but you need to get into the right tool. This thing that I'm going to talk about, the right tool now, may sound strange to some of us. We used to hear the sentence that all roads lead to Rome. Not Rome, to Mecca. Of course it's true. Okay. All roads lead to Rome or lead to Mecca, doesn't make difference, yeah. Okay. So we have many ways that may lead to Mecca or Rome, but one way, one road would take us probably 10 hours, another way would take us 12 hours, a third way would take us a year, and so on and so forth. So this brings us to what is the tool, the right tool that we need to use in learning Arabic. And this question should be answered by you. Let's think together. When we learn a language, should we start with the alphabet or the way to pronounce these alphabet? I mean, first you know the names of the alphabet, like alif, ba, ta. The second way is to know how to pronounce these letters, like a, e, u. This is the second way. The third way is to learn the word. The fourth way is to learn the sentence. Now I expect an answer from you, from all of you. Tell me, what is the best way? Think. All of us learned languages, right? At least our native language.
Alphabet first.
Sentence first. Then tell me why. I'm not coming into it. No. Just. Okay. I don't want you to defend your position now. Just tell me, huh? Should we learn the alphabet or the pronunciation of the alphabet or the word or the sentence? Okay.
All together.
How come? like, can we make Hajj and Ramadan together?
No.
Okay, so this is the same thing. We cannot do them together. Okay. Okay. Verbs, yeah. Words.
Words.
You take the example of a baby, you learn the word first.
The word first. Okay.
Alphabet and how to pronounce it.
So is that with alphabet or how to pronounce it? Do you know? Have you ever heard about Qaid al-Baghdadiyya?
Yeah.
What does it start with?
Alphabet.
No, it doesn't start with alphabet. It starts with pronouncing a, e, u.
Phonics.
So the phonics. So a, e, u. Okay. Okay. I'm sure that all what you said, inshallah, are good, but which one is the closest? Okay, why I'm saying this? You will never be convinced of this, because when you start to learn, you should have this aptitude to learn, the readiness and the willingness to learn. And when we're talking about learning, usually the word learning equals suffering. Yeah, when you learn, you should suffer. You learn something that's new to you, so there's some sort of suffering. If you learn something that's easy, within your living, you don't learn. You already have it. You don't learn. Okay, so you need to suffer. Okay, this is learning means, in most cases, suffering. This is very important in our life. So learning means suffering, and another thing, learning means what? Knowing how to think in a different way. Opening new grooves in your brain. And that's why it's difficult when you become an old man like me. When you have something new, you don't accept it easily. Kids accept it very easily. Why? Because they are very flexible. They are not rigid. They have not become rigid yet. But we all people became very rigid. So when you teach me something that does not fit here, I don't accept it. Although it is correct. And this is very important in the matter of da'wah. Remember when Prophet Muhammad ﷺ started propagating the da'wah, Islam, the most obstinate people were the old people. In other words, they want to say that, okay, do you want to tell me that I lived all my life ignorant? Do you want to tell me that my fathers and forefathers were mistaken? Yes. So what's wrong with that? Yes. You lived all your life making something bad and you didn't know the truth until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you through the messenger. Yes, what's wrong with that? The more flexible you are, the more receptive you are. So learning means that if you come to a situation and you have rigid ideas and you're not flexible to get something new, you will not learn at least as quickly as another one who is more flexible. That's why when we came to the States, right, and we found our kids after a couple of weeks starting pronouncing English and speaking English, right? And we spent probably 2 years until we started pronouncing one sentence. Have you noticed this? Why? Because kids are still flexible, more flexible than we are. And this is one problem of old people when they learn language. I don't mean you. Okay. So the second, okay. So then we want to say that we need to know that all these words, all these methods, or all these tools may end up with learning a language, but one of them may take us 20 years and another one may take us 2 years and another one may take us a year and a half. And a smart person knows, everybody knows that our age has limits. So if you start with the alphabet, it may take you 20 years. How many of you know the Arabic alphabet? Raise your hand. MashaAllah. Sheikh Waleed, don't you know Arabic? Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Waleed knows. So, alhamdulillah, even Sheikh Waleed knows Arabic alphabet. See? Okay. How many of you speak Arabic? All of you know alphabet. How many of you speak Arabic? Raise your hand. One, two, speak. Sheikh Waleed does, he speaks Arabic. Four people raise their hand that they speak Arabic, and all of you know the alphabet. Right? All of you know the alphabet. What use is? What use did it give to you? What is the use of learning the alphabet? Tell me. To read the Quran? Are you sure?
To make sounds.
So what is the use of making sounds? Animals make sounds. Birds make sounds. Kids make sounds. We make sounds. Everything that comes out of the mouth is a sound. So what is the use? You started in which direction?
To learn the Quran.
You have this intention, you have this goal, which is a very nice goal. But did you make a right start?
No, we did make the right start by knowing the alphabet.
Okay, this is my question. This, my whole question is about this. Is the alphabet the right start?
No.
Why are you saying no?
Because you are asking the question.
Why are you saying, is the alphabet? In fact, this, most of what I say that should be addressed to the teachers, by the way. And I'm sure that if we have some teachers here, they plan to kill me as soon as they depart this mosque. Yeah, but I'll spend the whole night here.
I have the need to learn the alphabet.
No, who said that? Who said that? Do you think that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ knew the Arabic alphabet?
That was
America. No, 99% of the Arabs did not know the alphabet. No, this is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that they're ummiya, illiterate nation. It's not only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were the most eloquent people in the language. Do your kids in English when they are 3 years old? Do they speak English? Yes. They speak English. Am I correct?
Yes.
They speak English. Do they know the alphabet in English? No, I would not necessarily. So they speak the language without knowing the alphabet. Am I correct? Tell me if I'm wrong. Am I correct?
Correct.
So what is the use of learning the alphabet? Well, why, what is the use of writing? Writing in the sense that you say, and it's good to raise these questions. It's very good to respond to me to say, yes, it's correct. No, you're wrong. I want you to say that. Yeah. Writing. What is writing? Do you know what is writing? Drawing. Write me any language that you learned and I don't know, and I will draw it. And you will draw it. Writing is drawing. Something is above the line, something is curved, something is a straight line, something is unique. It's drawing. It is drawing. Writing in this sense is drawing. But if you mean writing means composing, oh, they were talking about something different. What is the benefit of spending 2 years of your life drawing the alphabet and knowing that this is alphabet? Okay, what is the difficulty of learning alphabet? What is difficult of it?
Sound.
Is it sound or the mismatch? You say alif, right? Alifun, right? And when you write the alif, does it have anything that has noon in it? We say alifun, right? Ba'un. Where is this on when you write it? When you write the ba, right? You have a board here. Of course, all of you know the ba that's written like this, right? And you say, ba-un. Where is this on it? Do you see what's happening? I want you to realize the difficulty of this. What is happening is you know the name of the tools. You know the name of the tools. It's as if, exactly, I'll give you an example. When you want to drive a car, and you go to someone to teach you how to drive a car, you go to two teachers, teacher number A and teacher number B. The teacher number A, he will take you and he'll spend you with you 200 days telling you the names of everything in the car. And the other teacher will spend very little time with you talking about the most important tools that he used in driving, and then he will give you actual training and coaching, and it will take him a week to do this job. And you can be a very good driver without knowing a name of any part in the car. Can you? Yes, you can. You can be a very good driver without knowing the name of all the tools that you use in driving. Am I correct? So why do you bother yourself and you want to be an expert in the name? Well, you want to drive. You want to drive the car. You don't want to know about the car. You want to know the car itself, how to drive it.
Want to be an auto engineer?
Oh, if you want to be an auto engineer, you would never be an auto engineer in one day.
Right.
Okay, but you want to drive. The goal is what? Is driving the car, is using the car. The goal is using the language. It's not theorizing about the language, it's knowing the language itself. As I told you that from the beginning, what I'm going to say that may sound very strange to some of you, that's why I see faces looking daggers at me. Some people are trying to throw some stones against me. Alhamdulillah, we don't have stones. Alhamdulillah, the lecture is on the mosque. Yeah. In the mosque, so nobody is going to attack me. So I feel free to talk. Okay. This takes us to another important level. Another important thing. There is something, two different concepts. I'll mention them now, then I'll comment on them later on. I know this is something very, very abstract. It may sound bad to you. That's why I'm kidding with you to make it easy on you. Let's understand, what is a language? Have you ever tried to define what is a language?
Means to express.
A means to express. A means to express. A means to get the message across, or to get the message in. Another definition?
Communication.
Yeah, this is the same thing. Changing words.
Interaction,
the same thing. To get the message in and to get the message across. Okay. Huh? Oh, this is one of the goals, but this is not the definition of it. This is one of the goals. Yeah. What else? We can communicate. So this communication and interaction. So we are getting this. And now, all of you know the alphabet. Can you communicate?
No.
Only me and Sheikh Waleed and the other two. So is the alphabet a means to communication? Is it a way to communicate with each other? How many years have you been learning? It's not the key. No, it's not the key, by the way. It's not the key of the car. It's a name of the key. See what I'm saying? It's the name of the machine. The name of this, and 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 the name of this. Okay, this would bring me to a very famous issue, a very famous example that all of us experience. Tell me what happened when you learned your mother tongue. Tell me exactly what happened. What is the first thing that you learned? You learned to what?
Call your mother.
To call your mother? No, there's something before that, long before that.
Crying. Give some sounds.
Do some sounds? Long before that.
When you need something,
huh?
When you are hungry, then you need something.
No, long before that.
Learn to listen.
Very good. You learn to listen. The first thing is that you learn to listen. We listened approximately a year until we started babbling. So a whole year we were training what? Our ears. At least a whole year. And this skill continued with us until nowadays. We always hear, all of us now, all of you here, and I am the only one who speak, right? All of you good listeners. Okay, I'll tell you a real joke that happened about this, just to make something real that happened. It's not an invention. A good speaker one day wanted to show off his muscles, and he asked his wife to come with him to the place where he gave the lecture. So she came with him, she attended with the sisters, and then he started speaking very fluently, and the people were very, very pleased with his talk. So he felt very comfortable. So when he went home, he asked his wife, "Hey, what do you see? She said that, "I saw that all the people were polite, keeping quiet. You are the only one who was talkative." Okay, just to make you laugh. Okay. So, when you go back to the way that we learned the language, we learned the language by listening. First, we listened. And then, we started speaking. Right, so listening goes first, and then started speaking after that, and then started what?
Writing.
Speaking, talking, then writing or reading, and then you started writing. This is the sequence that happened with almost every one of us, except very few exceptions. This is the sequence that we used in our language. But when you see that when we learn Arabic now, we don't use the same method. And then we sit together and say that Arabic is a very difficult language. And we start blaming the language. And in fact, we should blame the teachers of the language. I hope we don't have teachers. Do we have teachers, Sheikh Rehan? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we don't have teachers of Arabic. This is true. This is the dilemma. What happened? What is the problem with the teachers? The teachers start remembering when the first day they went to school. They forget about what happened before going to school. And that's why they remember when they first got to school, and they started, first thing is what? Getting, writing the alphabet, or probably reading. And they forget about what happened before that. Okay, we talked about, now, if we talk about, can you define language? It's what are the components of any language? What does a language consist of?
Words.
Oh, if you, very good. Alhamdulillah, I have a very good assistant. You need to be here. I will sit on it. After some time, I'll bring you here, inshallah. Yeah. When you describe this masjid, you say that it composes of walls, fans, chairs, and carpet. Okay, tell me what is in the language. Okay, what are the... Words and sentences?
Sounds.
Letters. What else? How about grammar? Does it come into it? Grammar? Okay. How about the skill? Is a language a skill or knowledge? These questions are very important, because if you start in a wrong way, you will go to the south instead of going to the north. I'm not wasting your time. I'm not wasting my time either. Okay. Tell me. Yes, if you have clear conception about the language, okay. Okay, let's say, if you know these things, what are other things in the language?